was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the poor and the poor.
Welcome back, Resurrection Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Tom Lackbarra Stewart. We're joined tonight by Chris in Las Vegas, David Pruitt, Lori, Texas, 101. We have a caller on the line, David from Nevada, and I would just like to say for a second, folks, we had a couple donations come in the other night, and I really appreciate, very much appreciate, the few folks that have done so, but we're nowhere near out of the woods, and I need you to go to resurrecttherepublic.com and click on the PayPal button or rtrtruthmedia.com and click on the PayPal. My PayPal is tomlacovara@gmail.com. That's tomlacovara@gmail.com. Or you can call the RBN switchboard and you can reach Lori. She is by the phone and she will receive your call, and she can take, if you prefer to mail it, she'll give you the mailing information or what have you. I really need you guys to back us up, because we have a lot of things going on right now. And I'm working my butt off. And one of my friends took a real hit, and I'm having to work a situation for free while I'm doing all of this broadcast and media stuff. We're completely overhauling the website, and we need to purchase some new equipment. We're sorely in bad need of equipment. After my trip, first of all, to Washington, it burnt. We had our computers fried. Then I went to the Bundy Ranch, and I went to Oregon, and Oregon was the straw that broke the camel's back on my equipment. I really, really need your support. I need you to reach out. I need you to do something for me here. I don't ask like this. You guys have been listening to my show for a long time, and I very rarely ever come to you guys like this and tell you, I need you. Well, right now, I need you, and I need you to do that for me now. So, folks, there you have that, and let's go on with the show. We have a caller on the line. David, hold on. We have a caller on the line, David from Nevada. Are you still with us, David?
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Okay. Would you like to finish your thought, and then we'll go to Chris?
Yeah, I'm going to finish my thought real quick. The only problem is, even if these claims about Satanism are correct in connection with the Clintons, there's not much you can do about it, and I will tell you why. It's because we do not have laws against witchcraft in the United States, because we have freedom of religion.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
No. Hold on a second. Here is the common misconception. I'm happy to actually correct you on this, okay? Now, I know that we've been indoctrinated, and much of the public has been, they've been fed a false narrative that we have freedom of religion, meaning that every religion out there is covered, and it's simply not the case. The framers, especially the Anti-Federalists, but the framers, it was very clear that Christianity, and even Barack Obama said, we are no longer a Christian nation. Okay, let me explain to you how that's relevant and why it is. First of all, our founders declared independence. They derived their authority to do so based upon a legal framework. That legal framework was the Magna Carta or the Great Charter. Now, the legal framework of the Magna Carta is the Holy Bible. It is inescapable. Okay? So, what that means is you have the Holy Bible, the Magna Carta, the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the Constitution, and nothing along that heredity, nothing along that line can be repugnant to the former that it was built or based upon. I would ask for you to do me a favor. Go to the original Massachusetts Constitution, okay, and read that Constitution for you to understand the mindset of the framers at the time that they wrote the Constitution, because their intent is critical to my argument here, my thesis on this subject, okay? And witchcraft itself was not just persecuted in Salem prior to the Constitution. There was many times past that, past the inception of the Constitution, that witchcraft was castigated, and there was a lot of things that happened as a result. Now, if the Constitution of the First Amendment protected all religions, they would not have been able to do that as well. Also, the foundation of our the basis of our law is based upon God, the Creator. Now, the God, the Creator, is the antithesis to God is Satan. So, based upon our own documents, the antithesis to the Creator is not protected. In fact, it's not a religion. It's a subversive cult. You can call it a religion, but it is not a religion according to those who drafted our founding laws. So in this secular democracy, they have redefined these terms and these definitions. But if you go to Black's Law Dictionary, you will see that the definition of lawful means to uphold God's law, whereas the definition of legal means to remove God's law. So you see, through a process going back from the inception of the Constitution on to today, there has been a deliberate and very subtle but steady agenda to remove the original founding law and to subvert the meanings of the Bill of Rights itself. Now, people are made to falsely believe that the First Amendment protects Satanism, Luciferianism, it protects theocracies, it protects Sharia. It's absolute bunk. It's not true. It's just not. Now, any of these ideologies which fuse religion and theocracy, which is politics and religion, and who have a underlying agenda to overtake or overcome either the government or the spiritual foundation of our society is again a violation of the supreme law of the land. So we have been, as a matter of indoctrination, been mistaught, have been programmed to believe that the First Amendment protects anything that goes under the sun, and it just is not true. So, that being said, if you want to respond, feel free.
I mean, you said a lot there, so I mean, it would be difficult for me to pick apart. But my argument is that my argument would be that if it was really that, if it were true that it would be some kind of legal action were to be taken, it would have to be codified.
It already was.
In other words, it was.
They codified it in American laws for American courts going against Sharia law. And I believe also that there are several laws against Islam in our country existing today.
Actually, it's not. You know what, Lori, you're very close to being correct. It's not just Islam. In 1954, there was a law passed that basically made illegal anyone trying to emigrate to the United States and become a citizen who held one of these belief systems. I forget the law itself. I'll research it and I'll pull it back out and I'll share it with you tomorrow night. But it basically essentially makes any theocracy, which has an underlying strategy of overthrowing the republic or changing its legal framework or system, and it makes it you cannot become a citizen. And we've been violating our own laws for a very long time, of course. There have been subverted laws like we share on this show, the 14th Amendment, that completely subverted the constitutional system and replaced rights with privileges. And, of course, the 14th Amendment, even if it had been lawfully ratified, is stricken by the Supremacy Clause because it violates the tenets of the Constitution, one of which is being able to give redress of grievances. Well, the Congress made it so that the validity of the 14th Amendment could never be questioned. Well, that violates the Supremacy Clause. You see what I'm saying? So we've been breaking our own, we've been allowing these politicians and bureaucrats to violate and break our own laws for a very long time. But to answer your question, it has been codified. I don't have the law at my fingertips at this moment, but I will share it with you tomorrow night.
Monday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Monday night.
I've got something for you.
Hmm?
Robin versus Hardaway from 1790, biblical law at common law supersedes all laws, and Christianity is the custom, and custom is law.
Yep.
I might also suggest that one do some due diligence and read the definitions of the word term codify, because it means everything from bringing into harmony and agreement with the existing law to completely replacing and abrogating every other law and replacing it with a new form of law. So it's about three or four pages in Black's Law, 4th or 5th edition. Thirdly, there was a Steven Seagal movie from 2004 called Out of Reach, which the topic was international child sex trafficking, as we do here in this country, using the so-called orphans' homes and homeless children's homes and perhaps church places to be covers for brokering these international child sex trafficking enterprises that spread out across, like, tentacles of an octopus or a cancer across the world, and victimizing the youngest, most incapable of defending their own interest, and therefore being predatorily rapacious in truth on these poor, innocent victims.
Oh, I hope we didn't lose Chris. Did we lose Chris? Hold on a second. Did we lose Chris in Las Vegas?
I'm still here, but I finished up.
Okay, I thought you end so quickly that it sounds like you drop. Okay, so there you have it, Dave. There is tangible evidence to show that we have been lied to for a very long time about many things, and one of those things is that the freedom of religion, as our founders intended, was the freedom to practice Christianity to the dictates of your own conscience, that no sect or no church or no established organization would be identified and held up by the state as the official state religion, such as the Church of England or the Roman Catholic Church did, of course, all over Europe, the Roman Catholic Church did, and then the Church of England, and so on and so forth. So for the understanding of the time is not a secular understanding. The understanding of the time is that you could practice the Christian faith to the dictates of your own conscience, or not. You also had the freedom of choice. Why am I hearing a dial tone? Or you also had the freedom of choice to not believe. But the one thing that you could not do is violate the laws that were set as the moral code of the Republic. So anyway, we have a couple more callers on the line. Is there anything you'd like to close on, David? Dave in Nevada. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Dave in Nevada, I'm sorry. You accidentally got cut off. You did not get cut off intentionally. If you would like to call back, please feel free to do so. We do not censor or limit anyone from being able to agree or disagree with us however you see fit. We need to go on to the next caller, though. Dave, please call back if you hear this. Ed in Dallas. Ed, go ahead. You're on.
Hello there, Brother Thomas. How are you?
I am blessed to be alive and shocked to be seeing what I'm seeing. Not really, but
yeah. I know. I understand. I'm the one that sent you that song, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, have you had a chance to play it yet?
I wish I had. To be quite honest with you, brother, I was going to do some of that this weekend because I'm okay. So knee deep. But I will be checking into it this weekend. Okay. And I look forward to it.
Okay, well, I that wasn't what I called about. I called about, Thomas, that have you ever read the first inaugural speech of FDR?
Yes, I did, but it's been quite a while.
Okay. I've got copies of not only the transcript, but also the actual... vocal part of it, you know, when he was actually given the address, and yes. I went through, and I very meticulously went through every word, and I made sure I corrected the transcript, so it said the same words, exactly the same words as he said it, because there was expression in the words that he said, actually the real words he said, not, you know, they look at their... They look at their teleprompter, and they don't necessarily say every word that's on the teleprompter exactly the same. I fixed the transcript, and marked, you know, each one of the words where he changed from the original transcript. And one of the things that I wanted to point out about that New Deal that he brought up, okay, it's very important for us to look at that, because it wasn't just the 14th Amendment that put us where we are. It was the New Deal, too, because...
I agree with you.
What the bankers did... Now, get this. This is so critical for people to understand. What the bankers did, of course, we know that they set up the situation so everybody would go broke, but... In the transcript, if you look at what he said, he was blaming the bankers, the state bankers. He was blaming the whole system in his inaugural speech and saying, "Oh, it's antiquated and it's outdated, and they were just scammers." And I mean, he put it in so many words to try to make the people believe that we needed this new type of banking system. Okay.
Yeah.
And one of the things I want to point out is so critical here is that, first of all, what is a deal? It's a contract, right?
Yeah.
Okay. A contract, everyone has the absolute right to contract. Okay.
Yep.
The bankers knew when they came in that they could not gain control over all of the banking in the country. You know, remember, before the New Deal, we had the bankers. What they were doing was they were only funding the United States government. That's all they were doing, and that's how they get their foot in the door in every country, is they first say, hey, we got to, you know, always the government has always has got a shortfall all the time, and so they come in and say, hey, I tell you what we're going to do today only, and they will promise to fund the federal government. Well, if you go back and look at the Supreme Court cases, they said there was nothing wrong with that. And I don't have a problem with that either, as long as they stay funding the government, not the country. And so what they did, though, was in the New Deal, see, they were already in, you remember, they were already in our country. They were already funding the United States government. And what they did was they broke the back of our independent private bankers and the rest of the states of the country, and then pushed on through and grabbed control over the whole financial system by loaning out to the banks at an interest rate this paper money, and they put all the banks under the same guise as the government, under the same rules and everything, because of this funding. Okay, and that's how they gain control, okay, how the banks gain control. But here's the thing. If you look at the New Deal, the speeches that FDR gave, he said that it was a temporary thing. It was not permanent, and it couldn't have been permanent because it violated our Constitution to allow these bankers from a foreign country to come in and fund the country. It was against the law. So the bankers knew, this is what they knew. They knew they could not gain control over the financial situation of this country, over the whole thing, through the Constitution. They knew the Constitution, it would violate the Constitution. So what they did was they broke the back of the people so that they were broke and destitute down to where they would accept anything. And then they said, tell you what we're going to do, we're going to make this new deal. And so they knew that a contract, everybody could make a contract, see. And so what they did is they contracted with the sovereignty of this nation, the people who are the sovereign people of this nation, they contracted with them. And a lot of people say, well, where's the contract? Well, there wasn't a contract.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Hold on. Let me. I agree with you to a point. However, we have steps in the process here. Who and what they contracted with was the de facto. So it's irrelevant as to they couldn't contract with the sovereign republics. And the reason that they couldn't contract with the sovereign republics is because in 1868, the sovereign republics were essentially replaced by a communist de facto regime. So and then the people were kind of tricked or duped into thinking that this thing that contracted with the bankers was the original republic jurisdiction, the de jure. And that is where the misconception and fraud remains.
Well,
so that's what makes everything that they did. Yeah, it's all null and void.
The whole thing was a fraud, but here's the thing, though, Thomas. The only thing is that they didn't contract with the states. They contracted with the people personally, and the people have a right to do that. If you were 21 years old, you know, of age to contract, you had the perfect right to do that. And the contract was not on paper. It was an implied contract where they said, okay, under this new deal, we're going to set up all these agencies where you can go and work for the Workman's Progress. You can work and go sign up for the Social Security, and you can get Farm Aid and blah, 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 all these agencies they set up. And when the people went to sign up for those things is when signed their name to the contract.
Yep, that's what we've been saying for a long time. Yep.
Now listen to this. Now listen to this, though. This is the most important thing about the whole deal, is that, okay, if you had to be 21 in order to sign a contract and to accept the new deal, then, right, you know, during that day, which was 1933, okay, all right, you and I weren't living then, were we? We weren't even thought about. We probably wanted to twinkle in our daddy's eye. So the point is that the majority of the people that are living in this country today that are of the sovereignty now, I'm talking about the sovereign people, they weren't even living then. There are very, very few people that contracted originally under the 1933 contract, see? Because if you figure it up, it's about 100 and in order for somebody to be living today that actually signed up.
No, I get that.
Okay, they'd have to be like 108 or 103 or something like that. Well, anyway, so there wasn't anybody that signed up. So the law says it is a maximum law that if an heir does something that's not good, if the ancestor does something that's not good, it does not, the heir does not have to accept it. Okay, that's a maxim of law. It's not exactly those very words, but that's
no.
What
I get what I get what you're saying. I understand that.
Okay, and so if you go back and read, you need to go back and read those things and pick out what he said in there. He said that we were going to have to apply to a certain discipline. That's what he said in the deal. What he meant by that was that there were going to be rules set up. And in, I think it is Fireside Chat number 6, he talked about that the courts would be the ones who would administer the terms and conditions of the new deal. Okay,
of the bankruptcy, yeah. It was a bankruptcy.
Yeah, what's happened now, okay, is that instead of following what FDR said, that it would be only temporary until we got back on our feet, instead of doing that, what has happened is all these agencies that were created and grew up around us and everything, and even
never left.
Created today, they never stopped. They never stopped. And so, actually, the truth of the matter is, none of us, almost without exception, none of us have any, I mean, they have no authority to administer the new deal on us if we know how to go about dislodging them from our person, because they don't really have personal jurisdiction over the ones who did not sign up to the under the new deal. Matter of fact,
you know what? What I'm going to have to do here, Ed, I'm very interested in this subject that you're talking about. What I would like to do is I'd like you to get to a good, clear audio source. And I would like you to call me off air, and I would like to conduct an interview with you, and I would like to talk about this at length. And I want it to be a clean audio so that we can upload it to YouTube, because I want people to hear what you're saying. I want to have this conversation with you, but I want to have it in a good, clean audio format. Is there any way that you can get to a good, clean audio and we can do that?
Well, right now, I was going to ask you, and I forgot to ask you. I've got my Bluetooth in my ear. I was going to ask you if it was clear enough. I've got it.
No.
It's out of my ear.
It's okay. We really don't have time to do that. I want to get in depth with this. I want to do it from the beginning to the end.
Okay.
And what I want to ask you to do is when you go off, I want Mike, if you would please get his phone number and his contact information, and I will contact you this weekend, and maybe this weekend you and I can do a recording. And I'd like to release that as a podcast in and of itself, along with what we'll do is I'll take
you are tuned in to the Republic.
Are you still with me?
Yeah,
visit our website.
All right, what I'm going to do is, I tell you what, brother, just give your contact information to Mike. He needs to take a break, and we need to get on to the next caller. I'll call you right after the show.
As a listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village. where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare, don't despair, at www.bugoutpanama.net.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Only a fool would go to a plumber for brain surgery. But otherwise intelligent people use internet searches to find such gems as Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK with 3 shots from the rear and 1 shot from the front. They get similar financial guidance when they are investigating cryptocurrencies. RBN listeners know that American currency has not been lawful money for nearly 50 years, since the thieves at the Fed stole the silver out of the coins and began reneging on redeemable notes in 1968. Now that the dollar has just about inflated totally away and banks want reverse interest to keep your books, the high-tech world has brought you an alternative. What if you could buy, sell, and trade with fellow business people from your home with zero bank fees? If you believe banking tyranny must end, then join the digital currency movement now. Call investigative journalist Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We do have another caller on the line, Fred in Michigan. Just hang on there 1 second. Chris in Las Vegas, are you still with me? Chris in Vegas, are you with me? Okay, I just wanted to make sure he wanted to say something there, and I asked him to wait, and I don't know, I think we lost him. Okay. Fred in Michigan, you're on. Fred.
Hey there, Brother Tom.
How are you, brother?
So, all right, man. It's a great Friday night.
Isn't it?
Alive and kicking.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, and you know, I want to commend you once again for your stellar presentations. And
thank you.
Especially, as I mentioned before, history is a lie. That really needs to be repeated, as well as that other presentation from the historian about the origins of the Holocaust.
Yep.
The historic origins of the Holocaust being the Talmudic ritual. And as I contemplate the reality of that, it tweaked my memory of Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's Synagogue of Satan, in which he documents numerous things. And of course, Lori.
I'm still here, but go ahead and let Fred come in.
Oh, okay, good. All right, Fred, go ahead.
Oh, okay. All right. Hey, Chris, good to hear your voice, brother. And, you know, I'm taking the gloves off relative to IDing the ultimate culprits. And one such example pursuant to that presentation on the historic origins of the Holocaust, on 1 October 2000, the Rome Observer published the evidentiary proof of a snuff film ring. And can we say jewelry store? It just so happened that this snuff film pedophile ring involved only Goyim Gentile non-Jewish children between the ages of 2 and 5 who were kidnapped from orphanages. And I never knew, Brother Tom, what a snuff film, but when I heard film attached to snuff, I'm thinking, okay, that would be Talmudic Illuminati Juliewood. Sure enough, it so happened that these 2 to 5 year old Goyim Gentile children being kidnapped from orphanages were then brutally raped, tortured, and murdered and filmed. That's a snuff film. So when the Rome, Italy police had it publicized in the Rome Observer, what type of response do you suppose the likes of good old Abraham Foxman of the I got to come up with an acronym for ADL. I've got an acronym for SPLC. What do you think? I'm calling SPLC the Satanic Pharisee Leprosy Center, okay? Satanic Pharisee Leprosy Center. Spewing.
How about the ADL, the All Demons Legion?
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
That is supremo. Okay, so the backlash response from the Talmudic Jew community in Rome was anti-Semitism. You should know better. We are God's chosen people. Don't you know? And don't ever forget. Now remember, we've told you, never forget. Never forget. Never forget. We are God. But they don't say Lucifer or Hasatan, because in reality, as Tex Mars has documented most competently and scholarly, in the words of prominent vociferous, adamant Talmudic rabbis in his book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, and that causes me to recall the original Saturday Night Live that I remember watching. They had this one little segment called Da Bears. Da Bears.
Yeah, Da Bears.
Da Bears. Okay. Da Jews. It's Da Jew time.
Da
okay.
Jews.
Yes, indeed. So, rabbis prominently declare their Lord, their God, is none other than the magnanimous, celebrated, held Jabulon Lucifer.
Allow me to share with you just for one moment. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say that they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which will come upon all the world. So try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
Amen. Indeed.
Yep.
You know, in 1934, before I forget that, I want to cite another author, a fellow by the name of Bernard Joseph Brown, From Pharaoh to Hitler, What is a Jew? And his thesis is that the Jews, so-called, of today are not Israelites.
No, they're a cult of well, not all of them, but most of them are a cult of frauds. They're
Semites, not Israelites. It's right there in the tribe that they're talking about.
Thank you.
Let me out the best way so I can hear you, because I can't hear you for Tom and his show. Hang on, I'm not even sure who I'm talking to yet. Okay,
I can hear you, brother.
I'm with you now.
I can hear you. Chris, we can hear every word that you said.
Well, that's pretty cool, but I had noises on here that was interfering my ability to hear you. Was the issue.
Don't worry about that. Don't let them distract you. Just go forward.
Who are we talking to in Round Rock, Texas? Who? Oh, it's Tom.
Chris, you're on Resurrect the Republic. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I didn't know you were calling me back. I went ahead and hung up, and I was going to let you and everybody else play through here.
Go ahead. Fred in Michigan, go ahead and finish your thought. I'm sorry, Chris, but he was in the middle of something there. Go ahead.
Chris, it's great to hear you, buddy. I'll be quick, okay? I wanted to bring into focus two citations that do apply irrevocably. A guy by the name of Samuel Roth authored a book, Jews Must Live, 1934. Here's a direct quote by Samuel Roth in Jews Must Live. Our major vice of old, as of today, is parasitism. We are a people of vultures living on the labor and good nature of the rest of the world. But despite our faults, we would never have done so much damage to the world if it had not been or our genius for evil leadership. Granted, our parasitism. Okay, so let me cite this other guy. This was Werner Sombart, because Brother Tom, communitarianism, I told Lark, Texas, I imagined a octopus, and the left hemisphere of the octopus's brain would be like the Rothschild Bank of England private central banking cabal system, and then the right hemisphere would be its legal establishment, legalized fraud, extortion, racketeering system that's got everyone enslaved without any informed consent authorization, pursuant to full disclosure in good faith. Therefore, not even the national debt is valid. None of
that's
us
true.
Ever...
That is true. First, let me say that real quickly that I look at them as being alternating suction cups on every arm. First of all, not just a right and left, and that absolutely your second thought there is absolutely correct. I completely and totally agree with you.
And here's what Werner Sombart says in his book, "The Jews and Modern Capitalism." Jewish, I say, Talmudic Jewish financial influence makes the United States just what it is, American. For what we Talmudic Jews call Americanism is nothing else than the Jewish spirit, or as I say, Talmudic Jewish, because not all Jews are Talmudists. So I say we have to identify these evil culprits as Talmudic Jews. So it is their spirit distilled, he says. That's what he calls Americanism. Modern capitalism,
yes,
nothing more nor less than the expression of the Talmudic Jewish spirit. Capitalism was born from the money loan. Money lending contains the root idea of capitalism. Turn to the pages of the Talmud, and you'll discover that we Talmudic Jews created the art of money fabrication and money lending. We were taught early in life to seek our chief happiness in the acquisition and possession of money. We fathomed all secrets that lay hidden in money. We became lords of money and lords of the world. So there you have it, my friend.
Thus, parasitic is pharisaic.
Yes, and their ultimate weapon is the currency system. And as Mayor Amschel Rothschild,
by the way, these aren't real Jews. Like the Bible says itself, and like we identify, these are not real. This is not a real tribe of Israelites. These are those who call themselves Jews, and this comes from a Babylonian ideology. This monetary system goes far back into Babylon, and really is the creation of those who call themselves of Moloch or Baal. Or those purveyors of the true ISIS.
The synagogue of Satan.
Yes, the synagogue of Satan.
And that's what Tex Mars has documented in DNA science. He corroborates everything that Bernard Joseph Brown documents in his book, From Pharaoh to Hitler, What is a Jew? So DNA science documents it. Then he's got Holy Serpent of the Jews. Then he's got Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. I mean, the Talmud, Brother Tom, as Brother Chris knows, the Talmud is totally corrupted. It's totally satanic. I mean, I would like to see, this is my own personal take, okay? I am someone of action. I have to really press myself down to not pursue a course of action. But if I could do this peacefully, I would burn the Talmud. I would burn the Rothschild flag, the Israeli Rothschild Talmudic flag, the flag of England, the flag of the UN. I would burn them on all the preeminent flag days, etc. And I would burn the Talmud right along with it to call attention to this ultimate evil.
Well, can burn it or you can expose it. Now, the one thing that all of these nations, what is it, Chris? I think it's 107 or 109 nations who expelled these folks from their countries. Now, I just urge everyone to say, was it the fact that they were just a little different and that caused all of these nations to say, get out? Was everyone wrong? Now, my mother told me, and I say this, I've said this, I feel like a broken record. My mom told me when I was a little kid, she said, you know, if one person or two people tell you something, or they make fun of you, or they give you a criticism, you know, it may be one thing. She said, but if everybody is telling you the same thing, you might want to look at yourself in the mirror. Well, here again, we have this cult, this Babylonian cult, who was caught in nation after nation, groups among them, these Sabbatean, Frankist, whatever they are, kidnapping and taking Christian children and poking them and draining their blood. And then, of course, they have this portion of the ritual. They can't bury them. They have to throw them away. So they're discovered just about every time. It's almost like I have to give God a little bit of credit for his ability to expose these folks, because within their rituals are little things that expose them every time to those who are looking. And there have been historical accounts of children that have been made saints and all of that, who were killed by these people. Yep. I mean, these people expose themselves time and time and time again. And here again, among an Italian, or is she Serbian, or whatever she is, this twisted whatever she is that invited the Podesta brothers to this satanic ritual. It's amazing how, you know, it's all being exposed now. And just like, you know, the Bible says that this will be, you know, this is going to rise, right? And so did, if you go back to the writings of Albert Pike, who somebody mentioned earlier, that the true doctrine of Lucifer would come out into the light, out into the public. And, you know, you had little tiny warnings like the Lucifer Trust or the Lucius Trust, which were the publishers of the United Nations. You had these little glimmers. You had Aleister Crowley. Now his rituals are being openly shared in government documents. You know, dude, it's coming. They are revealing themselves. They can't hide any longer.
Brother Tom, remember Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for evil, I say the evil one, to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Good men to do nothing, yes.
To do nothing, in my opinion, is not to seek action to counter this ultimate evil. What is the name of that presentation, Brother Tom, of that, I presume, a British or German historian on the, you know, I'm just calling it the Holocaust, where he documents all these countries, discovery and prosecution of these Talmudic rabbis and their cohort for murdering all these children, and even some priests, some Roman Catholic priests were murdered.
Yes, and look at what happened in the wake of World War II. After Germany was beaten and the Bolshevik Communist Army led by Leon Trotsky and those Sabbatean freaks, they came into Germany and they raped, they murdered, they pillaged, and not just the Christians that they killed themselves before the war was over, but as they came into Germany, what they did to Germany was beyond a sin. And you know what? I compare it very similarly to the same thing that the Union Army did to the South after the Civil War was concluded. And that was the reason for Posse Comitatus, my friend.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? Brother Lark brought up the Lincoln Pooch. Pooch, P-U-T-S-C-H. It's a government coup d'etat. Okay, that was Lincoln's government coup d'état.
In other words, the Lincoln putsch. Yes.
Putsch, yeah. America's Bolshevik Revolution.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So, you know, Lark, you know, just like Chris has got just an absolutely brilliant recall from all of their due diligence research, and we really need the focus more and more. But what that presentation about the historic Holocaust that you aired maybe 4 weeks ago, was that pulled from YouTube? Do you have a site for that on YouTube?
You're going to have to get with me offline to refresh my memory more accurately as to which one you're... dude, 2 hours a night every night, and I can continue to try and expose this, so...
All right. I hear you, brother. I hear you, and thanks for the time. And I'm just gonna butt out now and let Brother Chris, chime in. Okay.
Well, I thank you very much. We do have another call, and Trip in Valley Forge. Trip, and thank you for your call, there, brother. Trip,
well, thank you, sir. I don't know whether you were aware of this, but Trump came into the Valley Forge, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania area this past week.
I know that area very well.
I know you do, as a matter of fact, and I'll remind you why in a minute. But Trump came into the area this week, and he apparently was at the Valley Forge Casino and had a rally there. But I got a call from a buddy of mine who is a longtime friend of RBN. He helped set up the servers there, as a matter of fact. And he said he wanted find out where Trump was going to appear and when, and by the time I found out, there was already a YouTube video up of his rally on YouTube. So we missed it. It's like, how does Trump come to an area and people in the area not know that he's there? You know? But I guess
I don't know. If I were Trump, I wouldn't be announcing my schedule too far in advance.
Well, it's hard to get people to support you if you don't. But he apparently, at 11:30 a.m., he went to a Wawa. And some of your listeners might not know what a Wawa is, but I'm sure you do.
Wawa! Yes. The Goose Market.
He went
yes.
to a Wawa at Route 202 opposite King of Prussia Mall. And The Secret Service waltzed in ahead of him, and then he went in and bought some things. And I know that because I was there about 20 minutes after they left, and everybody was all a tizzy. And a couple of the people I know there had to tell me all about it. And
of
I said,
course.
Well, why? Like if I were a presidential candidate and I wanted to go into a convenience store, I would like send the Secret Service in and get them to buy it so that I could just get the hell out of there, you know?
Nah, not if it was me, man.
But
I was
what's funny
for president,
is,
I wouldn't care. I'd want to go. You wouldn't be able to keep me out of Wawa, and I would want their coffee. Wawa coffee is the best coffee in the world.
Yep. I get their iced coffee until it gets a bit chillier than the winter. But
yes, sir.
But the funny thing about that Wawa is, up until about noon, it's half of the customers are Hispanic that are working like trades and lawn maintenance,
yeah,
and things like that. So I would have paid $100 to be in the Wawa to see the faces of these people as Trump walks in the door.
Well, that's interesting, brother. That's interesting. You know, Valley Forge is that area is near and dear to me, but you know that. That's neat. You know, but he's just a man like anyone else, man. I don't worship anyone. But
he can't be our savior, unfortunately. If he could be, we don't want the president of the United States to be able to have that kind of authority over our lives.
That's
a double-edged sword. If we give him that kind of power, then he's got that power to make our lives worse as well.
Well, it wasn't never intended for him to wield that kind of power. That's why the checks and balances and, you know, you hear these folks, these pundits on mainstream media making fun of the well, I'm going to run a piece next week on an analysis going back into a little clip that Rachel Maddow did on she tried tying sovereign citizens, which of course is a CIA Operation PATCON movement, to discredit the Patriot and/or Liberty Movement, militia movement. And take all of
You're
the more crazier concocted theories and cover the truth of sovereignty and states' rights and the fact that there is no actual country called the United States, but it is a union, and it's a union of independent nation states. Of course, this has been one of those things that have been obscured.
It's a corporate body, which is literally what the corporate means. It's a body formed from the sovereign state.
That's right. We got 10 seconds and we're out. Resurrect the Republic. Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. ResurrectTheRepublic.com. Go and click on PayPal or call RBN and talk to Lori now and support our show. We'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can't handle the truth.